Welcome to our Gospel Truth radio broadcast. Today on our program, you're going to hear a teaching that I am using exclusively here on radio. This isn't on my television broadcast, but this is a teaching that I did at a Gospel Truth seminar, and it's being played exclusively for our radio audience. I believe it's going to be a blessing to you, so listen, and at the end of the program, you'll hear our announcer come on and share with you about how you can receive this very teaching that you'll be listening to today. And if you pray a prayer like Moses did and say, repent of your evil, well, boy, you are in a sense denying that Jesus has already satisfied all of the demands of God. And you are trying to stand there. If Moses was to be somehow or another put in a time machine and just translated to our day and age, and if he prayed a prayer like that today, it would have been totally out of ignorance, not understanding that Jesus had changed things. Or if somehow, if he heard about Jesus and prayed this same prayer, it would have been a slap in the face of Jesus. It would have been a total denial that Jesus has reconciled us unto God. So you can't pray this way. There's no need to pray this way. God has changed things. God is now towards us. God is not putting judgment upon any of us. And for you to pray this way and believe that God is about to bring judgment on this nation is a misunderstanding, a lack of understanding about what Jesus came to do. Look in the Numbers chapter 16. Here's another example. And this is where the Korah, Dathan, and Abiram led a rebellion against Moses. And he said, if I'm really a man of God, let the earth open up and swallow you alive into the pit. And Korah, Dathan, and Abiram and 250 people were swallowed into the pit, and then the earth closed over them. That's pretty strong. And in verse 41, it says, but on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell on their faces. Moses knew what was happening. The wrath of God was about to go out and wipe out all of these people. Remember in the 32nd chapter of the book of Exodus, he had said, I'm going to kill them all and start over with a new nation. And Moses knew what was coming. And so in verse 46, Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly into the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord, and the plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700 besides them that died about the matter of Korah. And so here's what happened. This wrath started, and Moses told Aaron to take coals from off the altar of incense. This is where prayer was made. It was symbolic of the prayer, the prayers that went up to God. And he took some coals. In other words, he took prayer, put it in a censer. And it was like if this group right here was the congregation and the plague started over here and people just started falling over dead, Aaron went and ran and stood like in this middle aisle. And when the plague came to him and came to his intercession, those coals that he had, the plague stopped and the rest of the people were saved. And this is what had happened. And people will take this. I've heard this used as an example. This is what we've got to do. We've got to stand between an angry God that's about to destroy America and bring judgment on us. And we got to stand there and say, turn from your fierce wrath. Repent, O God. And we got to turn God from his anger. And there are New Testament believers. There's churches, I can guarantee you, right here in the Chicago area. Matter of fact, I would venture to say the majority of churches are teaching some form of judgment like this, that God is about to judge. And what you've got to do is plead and beg with God to turn from his wrath and turn him away from that. Let me show you what's wrong with all of this. Look over in the New Testament. In 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. In the New Testament, Jesus is our mediator between us and God. In the Old Testament, I'm not going to take time to turn over there, but in Galatians chapter 3, it says that the law was given to Moses and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. It called Moses a mediator. The dictionary says that a mediator is a person who stands between two people who are opposed to each other and tries to bring reconciliation. And so prior to Jesus coming, Moses was a mediator. Abraham was a mediator. They were standing between God, who was justified. He would have been justified to wipe us all out and have been rid of us because we've all sinned against him and gone against his things. But there was a mediator that stood there and interceded and turned God from his wrath. And it was appropriate for Abraham and for Moses to be intercessors and mediators. But in the New Testament, Jesus is our mediator. And this says that there is now only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. This is why you don't have to have somebody with their collar turned around backwards to stand and pray for you to God. And you don't have to confess your sins to them and get them to act as a mediator. That whole concept is a slap in the face of Jesus. It's saying that Jesus didn't fulfill, that these men here on earth are still performing that function. You know, in the old covenant, there were mediators that stood between God and man. But in the new covenant, Jesus is the mediator to end all other mediation. And he didn't do a partial job. He doesn't need your help. As a matter of fact, if you try and help him, if you say, oh, I know that Jesus is intercede, Father, but I'm going to add to this, and I just want to tell you also to repent and please turn from your wrath. Well, you know what? You've just polluted everything that he's done. If you mix any of your effort with what Jesus did, Jesus was so perfect, so pure, that for you to mix your effort with it pollutes it. It defiles it. You can't add to what Jesus has done. He is the perfect mediator, and he has forever satisfied the wrath of God. The war is over is what that book I have is about that. That whole teaching, the war is over. There was war between God and man, and yet the angels sang glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace, goodwill to man. Peace from God towards man. He's now declared the end of hostilities. There's not any wrath towards us. You know, I know what I'm saying is different than what most of us hear. And most of us, just because we've heard it so much, the volume of teaching about God's angry at you, God's not answering your prayer because you hadn't been praying and you didn't go to church and you didn't pay your tithes. We've heard it so much that this is just like it's put a layer between us and this truth, and we can't seem to get into it. But I'm telling you, God is not imputing your sins unto you. God is not mad at you. God is not bringing judgment on you. Jesus forever satisfied the wrath of God. You know how he did it? He brought all judgment unto himself. In John chapter 12, let me just read this passage to you. In John chapter 12, Jesus was talking about, he was praying right before his crucifixion, and he says, Father, glorify your name. And there was a voice that came from heaven and says, I have glorified it before and I will glorify it again. And Jesus said this in John chapter 12, verse 30. He says, Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. In other words, he says, I didn't need this. God spoke this so that you could hear it. This is to help you. I didn't have to have this. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This 32nd verse is typically interpreted that if we preach Jesus correctly, Jesus will just draw people to us. That he'll draw people to the gospel. And this is the way that this is interpreted. And yet, that is not true. If you look at the mega churches, the very biggest churches, they are not preaching the best message. I'm not against them. I'm not here to criticize them. But you know, the pastor over here at Willow Creek has, I don't know how many people are in the church, but tens of thousands. And he purposely stated that the reason he ministered the way he did, to where he cut the messages way down to where there was very little time to it, and they went into more of a production, and it was to draw people in. And his philosophy was, we're going to draw masses of people in, and then our weekly things will disciple these people and get them into the gospel. And not long ago, I think it's been less than a year, he came out and admitted it's a failure, that they are not discipling the people. They've got large numbers of people, but they aren't discipled, and they aren't true believers, that many of them aren't even believers. And so the man who kind of modeled that has admitted that it hasn't worked. The people that are drawing the biggest crowds are not the ones that are preaching Jesus. It's the one that's entertaining people. It's the ones that are dumbing down the gospel, taking out all offensive references. I won't mention any names right now, but there is a church that was founded on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and that was what grew it, and it grew to be like a 5,000 or 10,000 member church. And then the sun took over, and now they will not mention the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They've taken all of that off of their web page. They do all of these things in secret, and now it's just a positive message, and the church is mushroomed to 30 or 40,000 people. And lots of people are being impacted, and not all of it's bad, but I'm telling you, they aren't preaching the gospel as strong as they used to preach the gospel. I go to a church that runs about 12,000 people, and I told the previous pastor, I said, if you were to give me this church for a month, I'd cut it down to 1,000. And I said, if you'd give it to me for a year, I'd cut it down to 500. You might have 500 people out of these 12,000 that are true, committed followers. If you preach the Word of God, you aren't going to draw the biggest crowds. This isn't saying that if you just preach the right message, I'll draw all men unto me. If you look at this in the King James Version, the word men is italicized. And the reason that the translators did this is because every time you see an italicized word, that means it wasn't in the original text. It was added by the translators to try and give clarity. And sometimes you have to do that.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on a better way to pray. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM235 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. You can also get Andrew's book titled, A Better Way to Pray, for a gift of any amount when you ask for book number R321. The fourth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the fourth teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.